Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 807. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, I am realizing that I forgot the remote right now, so I'm not actually going to watch anything in the background unless I somehow manage to snag that during this very show here. Beyond that, I watched a lot of wrestling in a not long time period to do this show here. And I do believe I watch these chronologically. SmackDown aired first. I believe I did not get to it until Sunday. Same with Collision, but nonetheless, long weekend of wrestling these days. And what we start with the ladies of SmackDown here to kick things off, which was not surprising when you have really three of the bigger names in your women's division having a little bit of a three-way feud right now with Charlotte, Asuka, and Bianca Belair.
Yes, and Asuka, while champion, still being very much treated like an also-ran in this whole deal. It's been very weird. If Charlotte versus Bianca was the end game and all this, why did Asuka win the title in the first place? And oh my God, have I never seen a finish telegraphed more than this one throughout the night? What were they even thinking? Doing it like this.
Yeah, it was kind of funny that they had pretty much this very thing happen a week ago or 2 weeks ago when Charlotte interfered in... Was it Charlotte that interfered in the match?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was Bianca.
That oh, Bianca. That, oh, yeah, she was out in the crowd. That's what it was. So, yeah, it's just like the fact that... Oh, I guess... Adam Pearce did say that you're not going to do anything, right? Right? And he did have the exasperated, oh man, Charlotte's coming back in here to cause problems kind of look when she heard that Bayley and Io Sky were going to be sticking around.
Yeah, it's once again just a very telegraphed ending.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well just talk about the match itself. The problem was it really wasn't much. We're obviously getting our triple threat match at SummerSlam. That's fine and all.
Yeah.
But they are taking a fairly lazy way to get there, I think. While also giving away a lot of physical action between the women. I mean, I hope they don't do a Bianca Charlotte singles match in the next two or three episodes of SmackDown, however many they have left. That would just not be a good decision to do, because that's the... Not a mystery, because they have wrestled each other before, but it's what you haven't given away recently, so...
Oh, yeah, and they could put them in that odd position of someone needing to find a partner to have a tag team match.
Yeah, they could do that. But yeah, I'm sure the Triple Threat would be a very good match. But just the way we're getting there is just, very paint by numbers. Again, the most foregone conclusion to a match I've seen.
Yeah.
in quite some time, even by wrestling standards. And, once again, Asuka and Bianca, for what they did, was fine. And however they played out was executed well. But it's not the most exciting way to get to to get to our destination at the same time.
Oh, right. And, What is staying along with the women here? Bailey had not much ado about beating Zelina Vega, but we did get a Shotzi Blackheart shaving her head and kind of freaking out moment.
Yeah, that was that will be interesting to see how that all plays out. I mean, obviously, at some point, I imagine Shotzi got the idea herself to honor her sister, who's going through chemotherapy treatments for cancer, to shave her own head, and, it's still wrestling. Why waste a perfectly good head shaving without a storyline explanation for it? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing. It's her sister. It's her hair. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yes.
And it does.
But I was just gonna say that it seems like it comes at a perfect time for her.
Oh yeah.
I have kind of loved her from Jump Street. They haven't had much for her to do on the main roster. Like, I know that there have been some circumstances around there. This kind of seems like her time to shine. It does kind of feel like they're kind of opening up their roster a little bit these days.
Yeah, non-title women's feuds have been few and far between over the years, and to put the haircut angle and Shotzi losing your mind and
it's against Bailey.
It's against Bailey. Yeah, this is definitely some good stuff here. I really like it. I'm looking forward to it because, now you can play that, Shotzi is going to be around every time Io and Bailey try to cash in and stop them. And, you can get, we can drag out that cash in for a while longer, which is a good thing to do. I mean,
we've
seen way too many immediate cash ins.
The recent past, because they have some. I feel like they did mention that the last like three women's championships have been cashed in within like a week or something of them winning it, or a month, something like that. Like,
yeah, I think all of them except all of them since Carmella, really. I think may have, because Alexa was the same night, Bailey was the same night. Asuka, of course, that was a different type of deal with Becky, abdicating the title. Then there was Nikki Cross, and in 2021. That was within 24 hours. That was within a day or so. And then Liv Morgan night off. Yeah.
I think it's good to keep it in play and to kind of let things sink in. They've done a pretty solid job of pushing Io Sky, but it would not bother me in the least if they gave her even more of a singles push here in the meantime.
Yeah. She hasn't. The champion is a heel. I guess technically Asuka's a heel at this point. Although at various points, all three women in the main title picture behave in some unlikable fashion.
Yes.
Even Bianca was, had no business getting involved in that match 2 weeks ago. Really? Asuka's a heel. Io has not, gotten sick of Bailey and fully turned face.
Oh, right.
So, there's more story to tell there. So, I think, once again, having a non-title feud, the women's division are always welcome.
So, I think that about wraps the ladies up there on the Smack of Downs. Yeah, it does. Always a big part of the show. Somehow coming in second. Well, maybe because Roman Reigns wasn't actually around this week. The Bloodline storyline, big and prominent as usual. And yeah. Because why was I thinking that this was. Am I looking at the wrong review?
it was Heyman and Solo confronting Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Heyman, if they decide to go that route, laying out the case for Jimmy turning against Jay and going crawling back to Roman. I hope that's not what we're going to see at SummerSlam, but I think the possibility is there.
That would be a weird one. I hope they don't do it.
Yeah. The way Heyman laid the case out is that at this point, it's Jay now who has done the unforgivable sins to the entire family. And once again, all played very well. Jay, again, getting to get one over on them, not be destroyed by Solo. Got a super kick in on Heyman. Once again, very effective stuff there.
Yeah. It's just played out really well. It is continually amazing how well this story has had legs, and it continues to be that way. When there are definitely some other choices when we get to Raw that feel like they were shotgun choices. What else was big? I guess we did have the match for, what was it? A chance at the United States Championship at Austin Theory.
Yes, the three match series that we're going to be seeing over the next 3 weeks. A four way that was, in my opinion, surprisingly won by Santos Escobar. I fully expected Grayson Waller to win that thing, but apparently they think they can keep Grayson Waller, Grayson Waller's heel heat without him ever, winning a match.
Oh.
That's never really worked out well.
Yeah, the only thing you can say, I suppose, in favor of that is that we have a heel champion, and it would be a little bit weird to have some heel-on-heel violence for the U.S. championship.
But we still have another four-way next week. This week and this coming week.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They've put LA Knight in the match. They let him be the only person who got to talk in front, got to speak in front of the crowd. I imagine it's his to win, but again, technically they still haven't turned LA Knight babyface, and he's still wrestling babyfaces on TV and at house shows.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course, and if he wins, he's got to face Escobar, who's been a face.
It's
a face. So it still can't come. It's a very. And LA Knight is who I would have win this whole thing. I mean, and beat Austin Theory at SummerSlam. I've made the case that I don't know if LA Knight really has a ceiling higher than U.S. champion, but he should absolutely be U.S. champion.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where the fans have really embraced him. It is really something to behold. I mean, I think I knew that he was a good talker. I'm still surprised it's caught on to this level.
I mean, taking his age out of the equation, he is everything they want Austin Theory to be. But he doesn't have it in him.
Yeah, I mean, It's he definitely has the talking. His mic skills are pretty much second to none in the WWE at this point.
No,
You know, there are a lot of other people you can say are as good as, but.
sometimes in some places and iterations of himself, I think the material was lacking.
Oh.
And he always has to win, for me, he always has to win me over with every new iteration. Because I don't want to, I don't want to like this guy. I don't know what it is. I just don't want to like this guy. But, you know, he got over enough in NXT that they had him turn face. He had a really good face run. I really dug his face run. And I was very much against them having him be a heel on the main roster, not even getting into the whole Max Dupree stuff. Then, you know, and but then of course he gets himself over again with his talking. He's a
No.
face without having turned. Although they really should get around to doing that. And
Yeah.
but the
Just
problem
makes
is,
sense.
if it's gonna be him, I wish they weren't going once again this number one contendership series of four ways and BS. Let's let him cut promos on Austin Theory for 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh.
Direct. Because after that last match, there's only one episode of SmackDown left, and it's the night before SummerSlam. He does not. LA Knight will only get one opportunity to really cut a direct promo at Austin Theory. I would not
Yeah.
have done that. I don't like that. Unless he's not going to win for some ungodly reason. Unless like Rey Mysterio is going to win, so that we can set up a Rey versus Santos match that will either that night or eventually lead to the LWO, you know, turning against Rey, as is inevitable with everything in Rey Mysterio's life.
Yeah, I mean they have good cause to turn on him. Their TV time has not increased because of him, for the most part. Yeah, that would be an interesting take on this. I do feel like LA Knight's gonna kind of keep on doing some things to keep his name out there one way or the other. So I'm not too worried about him, but also on the same hand that yeah, I kind of expect him to win. Like
I do.
he's the hottest guy going right now in that whole the people that have been announced so far. Yeah, he's the hottest one. Like Rey Mysterio doesn't need another U.S. title run, and he doesn't really need a feud with. I mean, I guess he can have a feud with Austin Theory at some point. Yeah. Not high on my list of things I want to see.
No.
And then what? I'm trying to see if there's anything else really. SmackDown is. Oh, I suppose we have Brawling Brutes versus Pretty Deadly to cover before
Yes,
cleaning our
and
hands of SmackDown.
Mr. Ridge Holland does it again. Had an accident, whatever. But you know, I believe it's Elton Prince is gonna might be on the shelf for some time after a bump taken in that match.
Oh.
Yeah, again, as I said, Ridge again.
Oh, I must have actually missed that during the match.
I didn't really notice that anything too wrong with the bump. I actually thought there was a bump, I think, before that that actually looked
Worse.
actually looked worse. But no, apparently there's another one. But yeah, nothing. No, but other than that, nothing
Oh,
to write home
yeah.
about that one. Nothing. I mean, you know, the actually, I don't know what's going on with the tag team championships. It's at least the SummerSlam, or even if the tag team championships will be defended at SummerSlam. We'll get to that when we talk about Raw. So nothing really going on in the SmackDown tag team division currently.
Yeah, but I wasn't really surprised that Pretty Deadly was kept in the upper echelon with this W. Like, yeah, Ridge can take that L. So, next up, AEW Collision, and I suppose speaking of tag teams, we got a hell, in my opinion, a hell of a 2 out of 3 falls match out of FTR and Bullet Club Gold, Jay White and Rock Hard Juice Robinson, baby.
Juice Robinson himself will never win me over. But this tag team, again, what a match.
Yo.
About a 57, 58 minute match, 2 out of 3 falls, first fall started slow, second fall really picked up, third fall was bananas, parts of the second fall were bananas, quite frankly. a really, really just one of the best matches of the year. I mean, I think there's a pretty good consensus of that.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're going out on a limb with that opinion there.
No. And a better match than the match a week before, which was also excellent. Although maybe not quite. It was not at the level of the match. You know, they built to the match that they really, obviously, really wanted to have and were capable of having. Once again, Collision is just a very easy to watch show. Even a match, even with a single match that went an hour, it still felt like it. This, you know, the show moved at a brisk pace.
Yeah, I really liked not just the actual pacing of the match, but it seemed like they did a good job of cutting in the commercials and the picture-in-picture in that one to make it not feel as heavy as an hour, honestly. Like you said, like, it really seemed to flow really, the whole thing flowed really well.
I don't know if an hour-long match on television has ever flowed so well. You maybe have to go back to something Flair did in the 80s or what have you. No. FTR are a great tag team. I know they step in it on Twitter, and, you know, they're very opinionated, and they, you know, wear their heart on their sleeve and play, we're leaving, no we're not, yes we're leaving, no we're not, and two separate companies now. But when the bell rings, there's very few better.
Yeah, it's matches like that I get reminded of that. I feel like there are a lot of times where their kind of intermediate matches are just kind of for me. Like their 10 to 15 minute matches. When they seem to get into these epic kind of style matches, they really put on a show. And that's when it's just like, oh yeah, these guys are really good at what they do.
Yeah,
I think they're a little too self-reverential sometimes.
Yeah, the Bret Hart stuff from them and Punk just gets very eye rolling. And besides, tonight was supposed to be about Owen Hart. Why don't you bust out some Owen moves?
No one was really busting out any Owen moves, as far as I could tell. No one dressed up as the Blue Blazer.
Well, I would hope that no one would ever do that.
So,
but yeah, no. Just one of the best matches of the year. If you haven't seen it yet, go out of your way to see it. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Do not need to watch. I mean, the rest of the show was pretty good too. Honestly, like it also moved along for me. And, because what? Ruby Soho, Willow Nightingale, Owen Hart, Cup Tournament Final, and we end up with one Willow Nightingale getting her second big win in recent memory, this one actually on AEW television.
Yeah, no, this was a good moment, a good win for her. I mean, it almost took the... not planned her not planned winning of the women ended IWGP Women's Championship to you know, kick Tony Khan in the ass about giving her any kind of a push. Plus, you know, not having Jamie Hayter around and, you know, some other issues in the women's division. You know, oh. Willow's a really good character to have around. You know, hopefully this is big. It's unfortunate that she's already lost to Tony Storm multiple times, so it's tough to build her back for that. It seems like they might end up, hate to say it, but relegating her back to feuding with Athena and ROH, but
no,
they have good matches with each other, so that would be the worst thing. But yeah, I don't know. Good moment for Willow.
It was a nice win and one that I felt like was coming for her, and yeah, congratulations. And then we had the very short match, the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black, Brody King, taking on two local wrestlers. Honestly, I'm surprised this is listed as 2 minutes and 55 seconds. I would not have guessed that it was that long of a match. It's mostly because they toyed with them, I would have to guess. So, and then they were given overrun time, technically. I'm not sure how much they really used it. Main event, CM Punk versus Ricky Starks. Men's Owen Hart Cup tournament final. Did we get our second great match on the card, or was this just merely good, sir?
It was a pretty good match. I'm not gonna say it was a bad match. I you know, they never worked each other before. It was a good match. Turning Ricky back heel so quickly, interesting decision.
No.
But I don't think he was ready to be a baby face star yet. I know he already had the match with MJF, but he had the feud with Jericho. It went well enough, but I think he could use some more seasoning on the heel side. And they probably rushed his first face turn.
Well, and they killed it too.
Oh well, they absolutely killed it. Well, with Juice Robinson as a single, we'll kill anybody.
Oh, well, I guess I'm thinking even back further when he has his revenge match against Will Hobbs and loses.
Well, that is true. That they do that. Well, yeah, they do that. Well, I mean, they had the Lights Out match on Grand Slam Rampage.
Yes.
Remember Grand Slam Rampage that aired at like that aired at 11 in a match that aired about 11:45 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, he did eventually get his win back. It felt like it was entirely too long after the situation had resolved, quite frankly.
Yeah, you just like that point there. I mean, they set him up as a challenger for MJF, and he lost that match. Then the feud with Jericho definitely dragged on way too long. You know, Jericho did quote unquote put him over, and then he ended up, lower on the card.
I mean, Jeremy and I have talked about how much of a curse it has been to feud with Jericho in the last two to 3 years at this point.
And it's by design, and whatever. But no, he's gonna be a heel again. He cheated and beat CM Punk. CM Punk, of course, gets to throw his hands up in the air and say, Look, I'm professional. I'm here to do business.
this is one where, to me, Willow is just kind of starting her first push. It'll be interesting. Like, I still don't think they've had the stick-to-itiveness with Starks to really try and make him a star, it will be, I think it will help to your kind of beginning point to turn him back heel. He did seem more comfortable in that role.
I think so. I think you can have him back as a heel. I mean, if they want to have him on Collision more and, you know, and have more of a full-fledged feud with Punk, you could do that. There's worse things you could do. No. But, of course, in the end, he's taking that GTS in the end, though. Whatever their final match is.
Yeah, CM Punk is definitely getting a win back at some juncture.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that will be the feud ender. So, yeah, we ended up having that, and my DVR did not realize that Battle of the Belts should be recorded. And it did not record.
My DVR on Sling was very weird. It keeps recording AEW for like 45 extra minutes. I mean, Collision for like 45 extra minutes, which I unprompted. But it also did create a... It's, you know, I did record Collision. I did Battle of the Belts on its own.
And then
Battle of the Belts went over and got cut off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not get to see the end of that scintillating Luchasaurus versus Shawn Spears match.
God.
What have they done to the TNT Championship? Why? Why is it not, why is it on Literally Dinosaur?
Yeah, that has not been a that's not been a good thing. Like I guess I love the Christian character.
I don't mind the Christian character. It's good, but at the end of the day, he's still a guy who's almost 50 years old and
not actually wrestling.
Not for the most part, not wrestling. And then what are we? Are we gonna get another Luchasaurus face run out of this once he gets tired of Christian, you know, holding onto his belt for him and acting like he's the one who's actually champion? No one wants to see that.
Yeah.
Either. No one wants to see Luchasaurus. He is so bad, and it's and they killed Wardlow off once and for all this, and you know, you got Orange Cassidy's international championship that obviously means more because the title, the man makes the title doesn't make the man in most cases. They might as well just switch championships.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the TNT championship is supposed. Cody Rhodes did not sacrifice himself for our sins for the TNT championship to end up like this.
Oh boy. Yeah, I think that's pretty valid statement. The TNT championship is just in an extremely weird spot. Extremely weird spot. It really is like the least important of their championships.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. Well, I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw. Well, it's probably a couple of weeks ago. I guess the last time I saw Chris Statlander defend the title. But yeah.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. It might have been on a Rampage or something, but
nothing really. There's nothing really compelling going on with her that title right now.
No.
It's, God knows what's going on with Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be the bigger mystery, is that she just...
She's just disappeared.
Disappeared. Like, not a big championship run. I suppose you can always do the whole come back and go after your title situation. Which, hey, I would not blame her for, considering she was already wrestled a match in. When she lost the championship, like she definitely has two legs to stand on when it comes to that argument. But yeah.
And speaking of out. And then speaking of other championships that actually do matter, I liked the Orange Cassidy Lance Archer match. Oh. Orange Cassidy got to have a count out win, so that you know that Archer didn't take a pinfall here and. Okay. I imagine we're gonna get more with those two. Oh yeah, let's bring on that Texas Death Match, Lance Archer's specialty match that he never wins.
Yeah. You guys, they don't need to get that wild, but I suppose you could ratchet things up a notch if you really want to. And I don't know. Do we see Lance Archer international champion at some point?
Maybe. I don't know. Archer's such a weird situation. I know he also spent some time over in Japan as well, or I don't know if he was hurt before, but and Jake Roberts was also back with him. He's had, after having all sorts of health issues himself. It's just, they bring Archer in, it feels like in spurts.
Oh, yes.
They build him up for a big match, he loses that big match, he goes away for a while, they build him up again for another big match, he loses that big match. Repeat.
And we have really seen this cycle from his original contract to recent times here. It's really a cycle that is pretty weird. And they love using footage from Japan of him beating someone up. Like, I've seen almost as much footage of him beating people up in Japan as I have actually seen of him beating people up on AEW TV. Actual AEW TV.
Yeah.
So, he's in kind of a weird spot. Like, I guess if they really want to do something with him, that would be kind of cool. There is a pretty good chance, though, that he ends up just taking another big L in this situation. That would not surprise anyone. I'm not sure if it was a surprise. I will say that during my rewatch of Raw, I hopped on Twitter before I had finished it, and it got spoiled for me that Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green are now our women's tag team champions in the WWE now. Just because they are unified belts, right?
Next time you go on Twitter, you're going to have tonight's NXT spoiled for you, just because I just did it. yes. Well done for where they're going. They definitely don't really have a plan for the women's tag team championships at all. This is the second title change in a month. This is the fourth or fifth change this year. For every other title in the company is, you know, on some type of record run.
That's what I found myself thinking that to myself. I'm like, I can't believe how chaotic the women's tag team championship's been. I'm like, they have written a great script for Roman Reigns for three consecutive years. But they can't seem to string together women's tag team champions for more than, like, 2 months. It is so bizarre, like, why it's this level of cursed, I feel like. It is kind of wild, but they did set this up. It was not a completely surprising outcome, because there's another one of those moments where it's just like on again, off again, on again. The whole Raquel Rodriguez being the next challenger for Rhea Ripley.
Rhea and Raquel get into it after Rhea headbutts Liv. Rhea gets a good kick on Raquel's knee, which is injured for the rest of the night. And, you know, they work over the knee. They get Raquel out of the match essentially, and it's 2-1 against Liv. The Liv fights valiantly, but they eventually win the match. You know, all well done. Yep. But I will say, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It was Liv Morgan who attacked Rhea Ripley at the end of the night, and not Raquel. Now I know they're going to say that Raquel's knee is hurt, but that was interesting that Liv got to get something over on Rhea. And there's no one questioning that Liv Morgan is more over than Raquel Rodriguez. You could hear a pin drop when Raquel's knee was being worked on, and that crowd was pretty loud for most of the night.
That Atlanta crowd was bonkers.
And there's no argument. Raquel was literally the least over person on that show. I am not exaggerating when I say that.
That crowd was red hot. And if you're getting the least reaction, not a great thing, Jim. Not a great thing.
Yeah. So if they do the pivot to Liv getting the title shot, I will not complain. I mean, the idea. I know the idea was Raquel is the size factor. You know, someone who can match power with Rhea, if not be stronger than Rhea.
Yeah.
But nobody cares about Raquel. It's painfully obvious. And she's not a natural babyface.
No.
Her whole thing is that she has a muscular back, and she smiles a lot. Although Jeremy and I talked about the last thing, she's kind of toned down the smiling some.
Oh yes,
but it's still there. And, she's not a good babyface. And
The WWE's insistence on leaving her a babyface is pretty strange, and it's not going to change because they're not going to have Rhea Ripley flip to being a babyface herself.
No. They are really playing up that the Judgment Day is back, stronger than ever. You know, Dominic needs to do is stand there and get more heat than anyone else on the show, anyone else in wrestling. Her future as a heel is secured. You know, she gets cheered in some places more than others.
Oh, right.
Especially when she's on her own. But, you know, they're doing everything they can to keep her and Becky apart, because they know that's the match in the Raw Women's Division, and they may very well be trying to save it for WrestleMania.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me of why you start the Raquel feud, kill it, make it look like it's going to be a Becky Lynch feud, and then kill that, and we're back to Becky and Trish and than Raquel and Rhea. It's the only thing that to me makes any level of sense. They're just like, nah, let's leave that for WrestleMania next year. Like that's big enough to do then. And
I don't know if they have the depth to do that, but God bless them for trying. And since we're on the subject, yes, we might as well move to the Becky Trish segment of the show. This is the second time in a year we've really played up that Becky's on some kind of a losing streak or what have you. She did her best with it, but once again, so much about this Trish feud has not landed with me. Mostly because I've been fully in favor of Becky and Rhea being the SummerSlam match this whole time.
Right.
But it's, the silly stipulation they've now put, like, does anyone in the world think Becky's not beating Zoe next week? Once again, they played their hand way too hard on that. A tattoo? Really?
I was wondering if they're going to throw out a retirement stipulation.
They might as well at that point.
Both of them would be both of them are equally unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it was very silly. I surprised me because I thought all along the idea would be a tag match, whereas maybe Trish and Zoe versus Becky and Lita at SummerSlam, if they were going to keep going through with Becky and Trish as a feud. But no, they just want to do Becky and Trish one-on-one again. In a match that you know Becky's going to win again, once again.
Yeah, that's been one part of this whole feud that's been kind of weirdly silent. I believe, didn't they mention that she was injured? I'm not sure if that was a legitimate injury.
She had hurt herself, but got cleared, and it was fine. She's fine right now, so...
Yeah, if Lita is fine right now, it's really strange.
I thought you meant Becky.
No, Lita.
Lita, I don't know why... Lita's just off living her life, I guess. You know, did not sign for anything more than WrestleMania.
It just seems weird to me. Like, if you invoke her name that much in a feud, it feels like she should make a comeback to have that tag team match that you're talking about to me.
I guess, but I don't really want to see it in Pittsburgh, so. At that point, like, no, it's really fast at that point. You could have Lita show up and take out Zoe, I guess, at SummerSlam, and so that Becky can just beat Trish. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. The Raw women's stuff is just not super compelling heading into SummerSlam. It's partially because I convinced myself in my own head that Becky and Rhea was the way to go and that they would eventually get there. But they never did. But it's also, you know, if it's Raquel, I can't possibly care. If it's Liv, you know, she's not going to win.
Oh, yeah, both of them are not in a good spot.
Not in a good spot as far as having any anticipation over the finish or any question over the finish. And if we're going to talk about women's matches that are going to happen at SummerSlam, let's talk about Ronda versus Shayna. Shayna's the one who turned on Ronda. But Ronda Rousey is just so completely unlikable. That Shayna's the face in all this.
You know, I thought it was kind of a weird situation for them to put in motion Shayna being the babyface. Again, the Atlanta crowd, quite vocal. Definitely booing Ronda Rousey. She is not liked in this situation, despite being the one being turned on.
No, it
is something else.
It's kind of cruel. They know Ronda was born with a speech impediment, but they have to give her these long monologues with all these big words, and she is not good at delivering them. And they do it on purpose. You know they do it on purpose.
I guess I didn't notice it as much as some. I did see that was out there. I felt like it was short enough that it wasn't that much of a problem as it's been in the past.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad, but it was still there. And just a very, once again, I brought this up. There's just, if Ronda thinks that, you know, putting over Shayna on the way out, because it does look like, whether she's going back to UFC or not, whether those rumors are true.
No. Yeah.
She's finishing up. She's definitely finishing up.
Yeah, this is another one where you don't have that turn if she's not on her way out one way or the other.
Yeah, no.
Whether it's for the UFC or for something else, she's out.
I mean, just a historic downfall for her, really, and especially in WWE over the last year or so. Just it's insane how low on the card she's been. From who she was. But the thing is, with that, beating her means nothing anymore. I brought this up 2 weeks ago, I believe. Last time we were show together. It's like, just beating her means nothing. And it's kind of a really low-end match to have on SummerSlam. Take up a spot on SummerSlam.
I would almost call this a show opener for the level, but the way the WWE paces their programming, like if this is a New Japan show, I could see it being on early. For the WWE, they tend to like to start hot and then maybe cool off a little bit and then ramp back up.
Everybody does do that, and yes, this is gonna be the cool down spot.
Yes.
This is gonna be the bathroom break.
Yeah.
And I mean, who could care?
Yeah. I mean, I like Shayna as a wrestler. I think
I do.
she's a pretty decent talker in her own right. I guess
And
I
also
still
not
don't
an
see
attribute.
her above, any of the main women on the roster right
No,
now, either,
it
though.
just won't. It just That's not going to happen. Plus, once this is over, she's not a natural baby face either. It's
Oh.
going to be a tough. It's going to be tough from here on out.
Yes, she will not have the help of Rhonda in that situation to get some extra cheers. I think that's about it for the ladies on Raw.
Yes.
So, I suppose we can talk about Cody Rhodes coming home to Atlanta, Georgia for a show, kicking it off. Not really surprised. I'm not quite sure. When did the whole what do you guys want to talk about really become something of a catchphrase here?
I honestly don't remember. It seems pretty early in his comeback this year, I think.
It was something that just I'm like I was almost mumbling it before he did this week, and I'm like, oh my gosh, has it really been beaten into my head this quickly now? It was something that I re remember not residing there previous to this week. So that was kind of interesting that that's the way he likes to start his conversations. Sure, I guess it helps to draw the crowd in since you are ostensibly part of what's going to happen next. But yeah, he always wants to talk about the thing that Cody Rhodes wants to talk about, though, and no surprise, it was Brock Lesnar, and boy, Cody Rhodes, dumb baby face 101. He read the handbook before coming out for this particular segment.
He really got suckered in there, and then absolutely destroyed right in front of his mom and sister. It's one of those situations where the family members don't really know how to act in this situation.
Hey.
Especially Cody's mom, who's seen everything in wrestling in her lifetime. It's just like she could not muster up the tears and she couldn't do it. She just I
Yeah.
don't feel like it.
Yeah, it is a little bit tough in those situations to get someone to act worked up about it. Plus, it really was not in the recent past where we have Cody Rhodes coming out with like half of his body being black and blue.
Cody's Cody gets beat up like this every week. Eventually, I just stopped calling out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of the interesting thing. He's kind of got his ass handed to him more times than not when this
Yes,
situation
yeah.
has popped up.
Obviously, he should be in this situation. So, but but the match is on. No stipulation as of yet. I don't know. It seems like it might be coming, or it might not be.
No.
That's some great analysis right there.
I guess I would think that they would have a stipulation. It's really been weird because I feel like Cody was almost inferring a stipulation for several weeks there. And that's been cut out of his promos recently, I feel like. You know, it's really just been a challenge to have a match. Which does kind of open up the question of whether some type of gimmick match is going to happen later down the line here.
I would imagine we're still going to get the gimmick match. Cody has to, respond back to Brock Lesnar after getting destroyed this week. So, we'll see if it gets turned into a gimmick match. Third match in the series. Gotta imagine Cody's going to win, but it is Brock, so maybe it's not completely a complete foregone conclusion. They've done a good job with this. And I will say a million times over, the championship should be a lot involved in this whole time.
Speaking of another champion here, no surprise here. Gunther beats Matt Riddle in somewhat short order this week. And, it's not surprising that he now finds himself on a collision course with one Drew McIntyre.
No. They're definitely on a collision course at SummerSlam. Certainly going to be interested to see how that plays off. That match, not a foregone conclusion in my book at all. There's definitely a strong argument to keep the Gunther title reign going because he's got like 2 months before he breaks the Honky Tonk Man's record. And then there's the argument that, it's Drew McIntyre. He can lose to Drew McIntyre.
Both of them, I feel like valid arguments. I don't feel the spite for the Honky Tonk Man that maybe Vince had for CM Punk for modern title reigns. That Roman Reigns blew past that mark a long time ago. Like I said, I can see either argument. Seth Rollins is a good foil for him. You almost want to see, though, to me, I almost want to see Gunther in more of a position where I think he's going to win than Seth Rollins. I would imagine he's going to roll with the championship until Mania.
We'll see how everything goes. It's not going to be Finn. Once again, him and Finn, it's fine, but you don't feel like Finn really has much of a chance, and you're not really getting gripped by the emotion of the story. So,
and because of the truce in, I almost called them the Blackpool Combat Club, Judgment Day. You haven't had that looming Damian Priest. I'm going to come in after this championship match and pick the bones.
Priest with the briefcase is the variable here that will determine whether or not Seth's title reign is very long at all. You could get, Damian Priest cashing in at SummerSlam.
If Finn wears him down and he gets to come in and pick the scraps, you could definitely have more of that schism pop up. Obviously I use that word for reasons, I suppose, subliminally. Between Finn and Priest that they've already been hinting at. Because you either end up with Finn being mad that he was the one that beat Seth Rollins, which would seem to be fairly valid. Or the fact that maybe Damian Priest is deciding not to give his stablemate a match for the championship.
Yeah. There's certainly places you can go with it. I know I was just arguing against a fairly quick turnaround on a cash in, but in this situation, they're already feuding, basically.
Oh. So
it would be weird if, Seth moves on from the Judgment Day and then Priest comes back into his life.
It would be kind of wild if he waited a couple of more feuds before cashing in randomly.
Yeah, so it would not totally surprise me if Priest walks out of SummerSlam with the title.
I agree with you that that's the biggest impediment to Seth Rollins having a longer reign. If he gets past the Damian Priest hurdle, he's pretty clear.
SummerSlam's a big show, and I don't think Roman's losing. So you could give people that title change there.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean. And people are pretty, at this point, even if the person ends up getting booed, I feel like the Money in the Bank concept has been around long enough that people are used to it, and they're not going to completely poop on the whole thing. They might boo, but they're not going to poop on it, which is probably a good goal to have. That took up all that stuff took up a lot of that 3 hours of Raw.
Yes, it did.
Leading all the way
into the main event.
What
we haven't really talked about yet? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn kind of tricked into defending their titles when they really weren't going to originally. but they do prevail in the end.
You brought it up earlier. Liv Morgan provides a distraction by taking out Rhea Ripley at ringside. That distracts Dom Dom just long enough. It also causes its own problems for Damian Priest to get stunned by Kevin Owens.
Right. And Finn had already been neutralized by Seth, so they were already down one person at ringside. And no. Really well done, thing.
Yes.
It's kind of funny to see Kevin and Sammy, they get these, they get these TV main events, and, or whatever, prominent matches on TV with the tag titles on the line, and then they win, and, the crowd goes wild. But with the Judgment Day threat neutralized as far as the tag team championships are concerned, they really don't have any challengers on the horizon for... to make it worth it for SummerSlam. And this SummerSlam card has about 9 or 10 matches already kind of being built, and they're all singles matches. So there's a possibility that there will be no tag matches on all SummerSlam.
Which is kind of interesting considering their emphasis on the tag division here recently.
Yeah. And it will be the second PLE without
Owens and
Zayn defending the titles.
I mean, I agree with you. They're babyface champions have just really had it rough in the WWE for a while now.
Yeah, which is so weird based on who they used to be.
Yeah,
they were We cannot have a show end without Hulk Hogan posing. Or even going back to Bruno. We can't have it without Bruno getting his hand raised. And now it feels like the heels just win 60-70% of the time.
And they're the ones with the longer title reigns.
Yeah.
All the baby faces seem to get stale quickly. The WWE product's in a weird spot, and the tag division is not any different. You don't have the Usos to depend upon right now. New Day hasn't been around for a while. Pretty dead. Didn't Zayn just beat them?
Very quickly in their run, they've already got a title shot and lost. What else is there? The only thing is, on that same Raw, the Viking Raiders did get a big win.
Oh.
In an incredibly fun match. I will give them all the credit in the world for that. That did not look on paper like it would be anywhere as good as it turned out.
It was better than your averaged gimmicked match. You know what I mean? Like, when they're like, oh, Chicago street fight, and they have, like, special, like, Chicago dogs on the side and toppings or whatever. The whole Viking playground theme worked out. The only thing that I was just so annoyed by is that, what was it? Ivar comes jumping off of the... off the top ropes. Otis grabs him, catches him mid-flight, and then slams him. And then the fucking director, of all things, decides to cut to the prow of the ship to show the, you know, the dragon head at the front of the ship and not Otis cheering on his massive feat of strength. And it's just like, good God, people. I just hate wrestling directors at this point. Just across the board. That was just my weekly, like, I am exasperated by wrestling directors. Moment of the week. But yeah, I suppose we could have the Viking Raiders against Kevin and Sammy at some juncture. Still does not feel like the strongest SummerSlam match in another one where I feel like we have a foregone conclusion in how do you extend that feud. Because if that does happen, Kevin and Sammy really are out of material after that.
Yeah. It's a shame because I always say that their Tyler Reed started out so... And once again, whenever they're put in position to have a featured match on television, they deliver it, the crowd goes wild. It's maybe not quite to the level of the recent AEW Tag Team Championship match, but it's pretty damn good.
Kevin Owens and Samuel Zayn are extremely good at that whole professional wrestling thing. So that always helps out. When you have two great wrestlers on one side of a tag team match, things tend to go pretty well. Shocking, I'm sure. Any other wrestling news to talk about before we saddle up and get on out of here, sir?
No, I think we're pretty well good on that.
Bell time beer of the show. One of my travel beers from last year that, quite frankly, I forgot that I had. Sun King Brewery will always be remembered in my heart for a bad trip that ended up with me being stranded in Chicago and having to drive back to Columbus the next morning in order to catch the Book of Mormon. And on my way through Indianapolis, I stopped at Sun King Brewery, so they will always have a special spot in my heart. And I got a mixed 12-pack when I was there. This one happens to be Turtle Thunder Hazy IPA. I believe I had one at the brewery. And I may have even had one of these cans recently. It is a pretty tasty, hazy IPA. It's a little bit fruity, but not too fruity. Has a little bit of a bitter edge to it, unlike some hazy IPAs. So it has a nice little touch of the kind of old school, just regular IPA, and more of the new school fruity style IPA. So if you happen to be in the Indianapolis area, feel free, check out some Sun King Brewery. They are very large, so it is not hard to find them. I'm sure their distribution area is pretty wide at this point. Plus, I believe they have a facility in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. That is going off the top of my head, though. Go look at sunkingbrewery.com, I suppose, for more information. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from @DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.